All right, I will go ahead and call the meeting to order at 5:33 on May 26th. First thing is roll call. Eric Stanfield, I am here. Kay?
Present.
Thank you. Mark?
Present.
Thank you. Brigham? Not present. Donnell? I believe not present also. Vicky is not present. Arden?
Present.
Thank you. Counselor Hammond?
She was on there.
Slow on my mute, but I'm here.
Very much. Well, welcome everyone. We will go ahead and look over the minutes, discussion and possible action pertaining to the minutes from Economic Development Advisory Board on April 27th. Has everyone had a chance to review those?
I'm usually the one that makes the motion, but I wasn't there, so I don't feel like it's appropriate for me to do that.
I agree.
Well, I think in that case, Mark, you might have been the only other person besides me.
Second.
But I really try not to make the motions.
You make the motion and he can second it.
Okay. I make the motion. We review the advisory board regular meeting minutes, April 27th.
Very good. I guess I can second it.
Yes.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right. Next we have hear from the citizens. I don't think I see any citizens. Do we have any citizens?
I'm the only citizen.
lonely citizen? I assume you're here for the report.
Yes.
Not on your own. Okay. So we'll go ahead and move to communications. Discussion only pertaining to an update provided by advisory board members. Does anyone from the advisory board have any updates or anything they would like to share?
I'll share, since I didn't get to share at the last meeting, and just wanted to let folks know that we did have our 44th page tax trash on the 18th of April and collected over 8,000 pounds of trash between Page and Lachie. It was another great event, and we also added an event afterwards called the After Trash Bash, which is our first year for us anyway, going at trying to expand the occasion into the park and with music and food and fun. Wanna just recognize the volunteer group that helps to make that event happen every year. I am going to be bringing the information. I believe it already came to council the next week. But wanted to let folks know that we're working on a date for 2027, and then also whether or not the check-in location will change to the Para Club from the townhouse. It's under consideration right now.
Okay, thank you. And I know that's one of our most popular and favorite events in the community, so appreciate hearing the updates there. I will make one. This is a little bit less related to our official business here, but I will likely be stepping down from the board here in the next couple of sessions. I have done my own small part to contribute to the birth rate here, which is good for the economy.
Congratulations.
Yay. Bad for my availability and time, and also we may be making a move to Flagstaff here in the next few months. So Just pointing that out so others can consider if they would be interested in, you know, the chair position and running meetings. Could be Arden as vice chair, but I just wanted to kind of give everybody a heads up so we know that that's going to be coming up in the next couple of months. So with that, do Arden, Mark, do either of you have any updates you'd like to share?
Well, I do have a question. Is there a process if I were to have an idea, which I have to write down because it comes so few and far between, but if I do have an idea that I'd like to share with the team, and I'd like to make sure I kind of, you know, do like a little overview, make sure it's, you know, it's readable and that kind of thing, but how would I share that, and what's the appropriate process for doing that for ideas for, you know, generating revenue, you know, for the city through our group? Of course, all that would have to go to the council for voting, but how would I do that? How would I present that to the group?
Well, I think to start here, it'd be something that we could discuss probably with Adam and Jackie and potentially myself.
Okay.
We could go ahead and put it on the agenda. We try to have that the week before, like the Thursday before the meeting. Yeah, if you'd like to do that, let's be in touch and we can discuss what that is. And then it's a fairly similar process for it to go on the council agenda. And I think it's a few days before. Amanda, I don't know if there's anything you want to share on that process or others in the room, but it's a fairly straightforward process.
Yeah, did you want to get into the process to get something to council or just in front of the Economic Development Advisory Board?
Well, I'd like to get in front of the Economic Advisory Board simply because I'd rather get a kind of an understanding of how everybody feels about it, right? I don't want to, you know, offer something that it's obviously going to be a kind of non-starter. But I was thinking I'd write up kind of a short white paper, kind of an overview, do some of the, you know, attach some financials to it and see what the short and long-term impact would be. They get no more than 2 pages. I got a couple of ideas. I just like to float and see if the team likes it. If the team likes it, then it could go, if there's a majority of the team that likes it, then they kick it up to the city council and then they figure out what to do with it.
If you had to name it as an agenda item, what would it be? Just give us a little bit of an idea and then we can make sure we try to get that on there.
I'd say revenue generating ideas for the city.
Okay, thank you. All right, well, I think we can go ahead and move on to item 5B, discussion only pertaining to an update by Debbie Moses.
Okay, I think Mark had more to say. Did you?
Oh, that was just real quick. Did you want me to send out ahead of the next city council meeting and send it to you and it can be distributed to everybody to read? So when we sit down, everybody's read it, right? Or we'd read it and kind of go over it in chambers.
I would say that let's have a kind of a private conversation about it first, and then we can get it on the EDAB agenda. So I don't know off the top of my head what the date for that is.
Okay.
But in the next week or two, if you're prepared, let's have a discussion about that, and then we can make sure we get it on the EDAB agenda. And then once we have it there, then we'll go with council.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you.
Bless you.
Bless you. Oh, it was five of them.
All right. Are there anything else? Any other items from the advisory board members? I'm sorry, sometimes a little hard to see here online.
No.
Okay. Well, then now we will go to Ms. Debbie.
Okay. Hi, everybody. Well, I was going to start out tonight just talking about visitation numbers. Start with Carl Hayden, which is obviously our biggest area. What I think is interesting is we are about 10% down in the amount of visitors that have gone into the building. We had 100,000 last year and a little over 90,000 this year. I'm talking about April 1st through 30th. And then Navajo Bridge, too, we're down 7% in the amount of visitors going into that building. And then our store that's just right across the street, we don't get as near amount of visitors as the other ones, but that one was down 25%. However, what we are finding is that they're buying more, which that's great. So the revenue part is up about 2% for April. So that's encouraging. That is attributed to a variety of my great staff, but I just thought it was interesting. The visitation numbers are down a little bit. As far as events going on, we did our first Friday event with Grand Circle Arts in May, and that was fun. We're having the next one on June 5th, which is the first Friday. So there's music and drinks and food, so feel free to come by if you'd like, and hopefully that will grow. Secondly, I believe I mentioned at the last meeting that we have a partnership with Historic Brewing out of Flagstaff, and they've developed and this is kind of different in the national park world, but they've developed a beer label for us, which is Lone Rock Summer Ale, which shows, you know, the ideal that there's water around Lone Rock. So I'm going to pass out these little stickers. If you would like one.
You're not passing around the beer?
You didn't want to drink the beer.
I didn't pass around the beer. It's funny. I'm like promoting this, but I don't drink myself. But I'm like, hey, everybody else drink. So they have distributed around town. So and, you know, have information about Glen Canyon in general on their website. We are thankfully we're partnering with the city on May 30th for the Sunset Country Music Festival. So this Saturday. And Historic Brewing is doing the beer garden, and if you do imbibe, the beer will be available this Saturday night. So that'll be fun. And then we are having a combined event on June 14th, Flag Day, No Fee Day at Glen Canyon with Aramark, and we'll have beer tasting and educational booths on the that Wawweep lawn area at Lake Powell Resorts. And of course, we just kind of got approval to do that, so we need to get out some promotion. So I'll be sending something to you, Jacqueline, for that. Also, for as far as the world of the museum, we are tomorrow moving all of the archives that we are caring for and have accessioned back to the museum because we need to get out of the rental facility. And so as hopefully what that will mean is once we've gone to all the trouble to do that, then we will sell the building. So I'm not even going to knock on wood. I want the building to be sold. So again, we are continuing to care for the community archives, and we'll have him on software and working on creative ideas to making those available to the public. So those are the big things going on with Glen Canyon. I know everyone's aware of the low water levels, and everyone can access on the National Park site what the levels are on a daily basis. I myself, I don't have a motorboat, but I went paddleboarding last weekend, and I do believe that the paddleboard companies have exploded in town because they were all at, kind of have to make your way, Antelope ramp to get down. You kind of have to hike down, it's its own little mountain, but people are still enjoying the lake, obviously, and Going paddle boarding on a Saturday, a Memorial weekend, I can attest that there were a lot of boats on the water, and it was sort of like, felt like I was in Hawaii 5-0, you know, a lot of waves. So people are still coming. So that's my little update. Does anyone have any questions?
No, you had a good sale on Friday. That's not a question, it's a statement.
Oh, yes, because we did a big garage sale and gave the community the ability to come and also just take some of the deaccessioned archives that there was either no paperwork for it, we didn't know where it came from, it was about a region that has nothing to do with us, and it was a very good day. So they are more organized now.
I think if people knew the extent of the archives, what's there, it's just so intriguing to me, like a tour of the archives, maybe once they're in the museum.
Yeah, I think so.
It'd be kind of fun to see some of the things that aren't on display.
Yes. And we're also
always intrigued.
And we're working towards, because we do have a number of people, you know, come in and go, oh, we were going to go to the museum. And we are applying for grants to kind of have a mini museum. That might be a big word, but mini museum around the map that summarize some of the main topics of the area. And Mark, I don't even know if you know where our story is, okay? But when I say the map, it's this huge topographical map that really orientates people to the area. So, yeah. So, thank you.
All right. Are there any more questions or discussion with Debbie? All right, hearing none, we can move on. Thank you very much, Ms. Moses. Next we have Ms. Judy Franz.
Hi, guys. Well, we actually had a good month in April, I'm proud to say. We were up 3%, which was really nice to see because we kept staying in the negative for so long. But it was good to see the numbers coming in. Of course, the number one was California, Arizona, and Utah. That's the top three, and below that is Texas. So we're kind of staying in that realm, which is okay. But then we're picking up some of the other Midwestern, Nebraska. We're getting into some of these smaller states that we never used to see, Wisconsin. So it's kind of nice to see all these people coming in the door. Of course, on the European side, it was France, Australia, and Canada was third. So that was another interesting one for us that we were seeing. A lot of Australians, and then Italy was in there for the running as well. So we are starting to see some of the internationals come back. Certainly not anywhere where they should be. When I look at the numbers on the daily numbers, because we track them every day, and then we move them over to a big sheet, and always the domestics are so much higher. So, and you can see on my chart, one of the things is the wave. The wave is actually our strongest thing at the hub. Every day now, almost every day, we have at least a minimum of 5 to 10 people, sometimes 20, 25 people coming in. So we're getting the daily lottery people, and then we're getting the advanced. So the advanced people are really picking up. I've been doing a lot of stuff on social media to try to get more people to know about what we're doing there. The other cool thing is now we have a really neat line of hats and t-shirts for the wave, and of course the magnets, and everyone wants those. So that has been a big hit. But I think the wave has just been so strong. We've never seen it that strong like we have lately. I mean, Brenda gives the wave orientation pretty much every day, and she keeps thinking one of these days she won't have anybody, but no, they're in there and they want to come in. And then the other one picking up is the South Coyote Buttes. That's another really, really popular one. We're seeing people want to get into that because it's easier somehow than the daily lottery. So slot candies, of course, have been strong as always, but the boat tours have just now started kicking in. So we're starting to see people wanting to get into the boat tours. And yeah, the lake is busy. My husband had two awesome months April and May were amazing. He was booked almost every day during the week. Lots of people on the lake. And yes, Debbie, a lot of paddleboarders out there. A lot of companies that are not our companies in town, though. And that's I've talked to a couple of the companies, and they're a little bit concerned about that because you're getting people out of Utah and then also out of Vegas coming in. So don't know who they are, but we are seeing people getting more into the paddleboarding now that the warmer weather has come back in. But I would say, all in all, we're really pleased. At the chamber side of it, we have we're strong into Pace Chamber Street Fair, because that takes almost every day working on that thing. So we're heavy into that, already getting some really good sponsors, and we have an absolutely awesome for the Best of Page, which is in December. One of our actual items that we have for the grand is going to be unbelievable. So I was really great to be able to get that one. Sponsors are coming in strong. All the bands are lined up for the Pace Chamber Street Fair. And our host this year is, we're proud to say, is going to be LP Espresso. They've had a rough go with having their building not there. And so they're going to be our host to do the beer garden. And I know they're thrilled to do it. So, and on the chamber side, we've signed up more businesses in the last 2 months than I can't even tell you. Every day there's been new people coming in. So we're excited on that. So the chamber's really holding its own. And that's really all I have, if anybody has any questions. Oh, I do have one more thing. I sent this to Adam, and so you guys didn't see this that I had sent, because I know, Eric, you're on my sheet. We started doing kind of a thing on stats, on the, going to the Page Life Paddle Hub site. The most hits, of course, came in from the United States, like 2,539. France was 98. Then we got into Germany, and then 32 was United Kingdom and Canada. And then we kind of went down from there, and we hit almost every country. The number one place they stopped into, of course, first was home, so that showed up. But then the top one was Horseshoe Bend. Wave Lottery was number two. The do-it-yourself tours, which we were excited about that, because we have that on our page where people can actually go in and just book their tours 24/7. And then the Beehive Trail. That's another one that people have really picked up on, because it's very similar to the Wave, but you don't have to get any kind of a permit for it. And then the Rim Trail, which everybody loves, events calendar, they wanted to see that. And then it goes down the line, you know, all the other places in town. But we're going to keep tracking this and seeing which ones, and I'll be sending all that to Adam. And if anybody else wants, I'll probably include that as well. When I do my month-end ones, I'll include that on that sheet so people can kind of see that. So, because Adam, I know, and Jacqueline are tracking where people are coming in from, so we're going to do our part and do that as well and tell you guys where we're seeing people coming in from. And then the only really other great news I have is I finally found someone to hire. I'm so excited. She worked at Aramark as a boat tour rental person for years, and she's a local. And then I have a student from Stanford who used to work with us from Page High School. She was an intern and came through K back in the day when we had Carol.
Yeah.
I think it was Carol.
Yep.
She brought her in, Kira Sosi. Well, she reached out to us, and she is, she reached out, and Stanford has a program, and she applied for it, and they're going to let her work for us from July through September.
It's great news.
I know. I'm really excited. So we got two great people coming in. So that's my report.
So will you be open on Sundays now, Judy?
Oh, we're always open on Sundays still.
Okay.
8 to 12 only, and I'll tell you why. It's still not busy on Sundays, and I find it hard to be paying someone just to sit there, and it's been pretty dead. Sure. So 8 to 3 on Saturdays, and then 8 to 12 on Sundays, and if it picks up and gets busy, then we'll stay longer.
Great. Eric, I have one more question, if I can.
Sure, uh-huh. Please.
Judy, the street fair is going to go back to 2 days a week rather than the three it's been the last 2 years. Is that correct?
That's correct, because it is still costly.
Yes.
As everyone knows, it's just so costly. And it's so time consuming for us because it's just us. Mm-hmm. It's not like we have this big, humongous team.
Right.
And
right.
So we decided, we're going to just do it Friday and Saturday. It all worked out good. I have two local bands that'll be playing still, so we're still getting our locals in there. And it'll just be Friday and Saturday, and I think that's going to be better for everybody all the way around.
Yeah, I think the Halloween thing was making it a little more difficult too to try to figure out how to go work with.
I'm not getting any younger, guys, and that was 3 days was a long time because we were working at it 24/7. And I know Joe gets tired. We all get tired, so we just decided that it. And plus, honestly, it's just the cost. We're paying for security 3 days. We're paying for the electric part and all the equipment rental and all that. So it just went, it's just a better fit for us to do 2 days.
I have a great internship story too, because our internship, our intern that was with us, she was in ninth grade when she interned in the summer. She's now finished her first year at NAU and coming back to be a tutor for our summer,
yay,
our summer program. So it's pretty great.
We're thrilled. I mean, yeah. I mean, it's great to see these kids kind of grow up and they want to come back.
Yep.
And she was excited to do it, and we're excited to have her back. And so, yeah, it's going to be able to help us. I've got Artie still working for us, Kay, who you know well.
Yep.
And she loves it. And then Brenda and myself.
Sounds like a good team.
It is. It's a good one.
Judy, I am curious. I know one of the, especially with international visitors, there were some issues with the increase in fees. Has there been any kind of conversations or any kind of lobbying that you guys have considered, or that even the city might consider in talking with our representatives about trying to ease that somehow, if we think that's one of the larger factors?
Well, unfortunately for us, we have to be careful, because our bylaws really have a strong that we are not lobbyists, so we have to be really careful with that,
right.
Number one. Number two, though, I think it is something that maybe the city could get more, a little bit more involved, and National Park Service possibly, because yes, it definitely is expensive for them, because we're even hearing when they get here, then they're also complaining about the pricing. They think it's way too expensive here. It's too expensive for the food, it's too expensive for the tours. And so the next question is always, what can we do for free? So we are hearing. But I will say I was excited, because the last week we've been seeing a lot more people from China, which we had not been seeing. So they're getting in, but it is expensive. And we've had people calling us and asking us. So maybe I might try to get a hold of Jake and see what he thinks. And then maybe Adam and I could kind of talk about that and see what maybe we can do, because yeah, it's hard for them when the visa, and then, you know, they've got the other one that they've got to pay sometimes, and people are really concerned and they're confused. That's the other thing. They get very, very, very confused about it. So I'd like to see more internationals, because I think we were 4.5 million before COVID, and here we're not anywhere near that, nothing. So.
Yeah, I wonder if there's opportunities we can, and I think we briefly discussed this last time, if there's a way to, you know, write a letter or something and just contact folks even in Arizona tourism and representatives. So something we can consider.
May I say something?
Yes, please.
I think it goes more than just national park prices. You know, Judy did mention the costs, food, gas, but it's all politics at this point. I just came back from a week-long meeting in Florida, a tourism event, and had to do a lot with the war in Iran. That was a huge one. A lot of people changing their plans, and a lot of people boycotting the United States because of the war in Iran, and also because of our president. Because of those reasons, a lot of people are not traveling from overseas. So they're deciding to go elsewhere, and they're traveling, surprisingly, to Canada. A lot of them are going up to Canada during this time of year.
Yeah, you're right, Arden. It's very much a part of it.
So, you know, we can write a letter, but it's going to have to go to the president. And it's just, at this point, it's, you know, we looked at it. We're looking at our, you know, we're looking at how many people are coming and where they're coming from. And, yeah, we're nowhere near where we were back in 2019.
Yeah.
And it's going to take a while. You know, we thought COVID was going to be, like something we needed to rebound from. But I think it's because that, and also with the current geopolitical landscape, it's going to probably be 2029 before we see anything in a positive.
I think we're going to also, Arden, another thing too is the lake is an issue, because we are getting a lot of phone calls about the low water. One of the things that happened this weekend is Bill happened to get, he wasn't working on Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. He never does during the holiday weekend. He went down there and there was over 1,000 cars down there, which is great. But what troubled him a lot was that there was only one person at the gate. And down at the ramp, where there's only two lanes now, there was nobody. And this has been a concern when I was on the call, and the mayor was on too as well, that we thought that the National Park Service has to have some kind of a sign or something, because it's gonna get toxic down there with these people, because you're gonna have people really angry trying to launch their boats, trying to get in, get out, and you're gonna have the guy who's gonna wanna sort and organize everything while he's sitting there. So I brought that up at the last NPS meet call that we were on, but I think that's an area too we have to look at, because you're gonna get really disgruntled people saying, I'm not gonna come because, you know, it's just too much of a pain, and I'm just waiting. And Bill said the line was all the way back. So just another concern.
Yeah, that makes sense. And, you know, in addition to things that you guys have already noted, I think probably, but you know, petroleum prices, we're in a remote location. That's a big issue for us. It's difficult because we have relatively few tools, I think, to deal with that. You know, I think if we can try to think creatively about how to, you know, mitigate any of these things, and that's where when I really try to think, you know, what tools do we have? I don't know that there are many, but maybe trying to relieve some of that, you know, national park fee cost. I don't know what we can do outside to deal with any of the political things. But, you know, I would just encourage board members and folks from the city to think about, you know, we've heard what some of these concerns and some of these issues are. You know, what tools do we have as a small community to deal with those things? I don't know what they are, but I think we can think creatively. Maybe there's some kind of marketing that we can consider that addresses those things that can approach, you know, help loosen things up and attract people to our community. So if anybody has any ideas about that, I'd love to hear it. And I think this is a good place to discuss those things. All right, are there any other questions or discussions for the chamber?
Oh, thank you, Judy.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks very much. We'll go ahead and move on to staff reports. Up first, we have Jackie.
Thank you. So I would just like to give an update for our two newsletters that we recently have been working on. The economic development newsletter came out for the first time in May, and it had about 200 recipients for that one, and it included some a report that Adam posted on social media, and then we also included some new businesses that opened here in town. We were excited to highlight those, and I think that'll be a tradition moving forward. I think people like to see the growth, and it's exciting to try new things here. And then our tourism newsletter, that one, its audience has been growing significantly. It's about 4,700 recipients at the moment. And we focused on some events that are happening, and just some Glen Canyon news that NPS provided. And for June, I'm pretty excited to put in that Horseshoe Bend added 4 new shade structures towards the entrance. And this is specifically for, well, it's for everyone, but I guess that area near the parking lot is where a lot of the visitors stand and wait for their tour bus to come around. It's right at the edge of the parking lot, and they can just get some shade while their tour bus is coming around. They're also doing some maintenance on the trail entrance. Debbie just sent me pictures of the trash cans and the shades, but I'm pretty excited that those got added in, especially with the timing. I think it's essential right now. So I think that'll be really pleasant for the visitors in the future. Let's see, what else do I have? The Youth Advisory Commission, they've been involved with, they had a presentation with Brooke Whitethorn. She's been focusing on youth alcohol prevention, and they seemed pretty excited to get some data about that. They were interested in participating. I think we have a really good group on that board, and really what I understood from that is that they want to see more activities with families where they wouldn't, so I guess those activities would give them a chance to spend time with their family versus, you know, sitting around being bored and not doing great stuff. I don't know how else to put it. But Brooke has been very involved with the city over the past few months, and it's really been nice just to get a good idea of what's going on in her community. She's also been reaching out to the Substance Abuse Task Force as well. And I know she has a coalition coming up here soon. But I think that's all I have for this month. Does anyone have any questions or comments? Oh, I guess I should add, Adam and I, we've been working more on the passport, the 48 hours and page. And I think right now we're up to about 20 listings, and it's a mix of business owners and attractions and trails here in town. So we've been reaching out to local business owners, and Judy and Debbie signed up for it, so we're excited to have them on it, and I'm hoping that a few more jump on, but it's where participants sign up for the passport, and they go to the local business, and they get a pin, and they redeem points where they can redeem a prize later on, so they're checking in at different places here in town and engaging with the community. I think it's a really fun way for them to get to know us and hopefully spend some more time at these businesses. So if anyone knows of a business that would be interested, we're still accepting them. But the Band Wango team has been reaching out, I believe, with the second step of the project. So I'm excited to see it here finished soon. I think it's a really fun way for the citizens and visitors just to get around town and you know, get to know us and redeem some prizes too. Yes.
Was there something I was supposed to fill out? I mean, I said I was interested, but
they should be sending it to you here soon.
All right, are there any questions or comments on Jackie's report?
I just had a question, comment. I'm happy to hear that, well, first off, I'm really excited about the economic development newsletter. Thank you, Adam, excellent work, both of you on it. I'd love to see more people. Are you using the Page newsletter to advertise it all or promote the economic development page?
We are not. Maybe Adam can clarify how he gets those emails. I know the tourism one is you have to submit your email in order to get a map
right
for free. But if you can clarify how you get the...
Yeah, so the tourism one, there's three sources that we're getting emails from. One is on our website, and you can just sign up, or if you want to download the Grand Circle map that I created, you have to enter an email address. So we're getting about 10 to 20 a day from there, but the bulk of it is that we're also signed up with Go Travel Sites, which is a service that collects emails from travel intenders to the area, and they provide an additional 100 or so every couple of weeks to us that we upload for tourism. And then we have another travel intender email provider that sends us additional ones as well. So primarily from those three sources are how we're getting those. And it's great because we can tag where we're getting those emails, and then we can see which ones are the best, which ones are more likely to click on something in the email. So then we can kind of filter those through and kind of direct our resources towards the ones that work the best. For the economic development portion, we reached out to all of the registered businesses in the city to ask them if they wanted to sign up. It was a one-time outreach. And then additionally on choosepage.com, which will be the future home of our economic development page, they can go ahead and sign up for the newsletter on there as well. So, and in addition, also just manually doing outreach and telling people about go to Choose Page and sign up for the newsletter and things like that, wherever we have the opportunity to do so. So we're at about 250 there, and we're at about 6,000 on the tourism one.
Thank you. I'm not trying to tell you how to do your job, but I think if there were folks that knew about the page, like, I mean, if you've got 4,000 people looking at the newsletter, it might be a good opportunity to do another outreach to get more people to the economic development page. I think it's more designed for locals, correct? Businesses.
The economic development one is more for business outreach and for local business retention and expansion and things like that. But I like that idea. I think we could, from the tourism one, since that has such a better response, probably advertise the economic development one. And that website, I wasn't able to complete it before ICSE like I was hoping to, unfortunately, but I have made a lot of progress on it and added a lot of features. So I'm hoping to get that out in the next week or so. And once that occurs, we can start really promoting that across different marketing channels.
Excellent. Just one more comment. I'm glad that the economic development newsletter includes the businesses and highlighting what's happening in Page as far as the business community. I was at the soda shop, stop, whatever it's called. I can't remember what the last part of the, is it the soda shop? But anyway. Highly recommend it. The soda I had was amazing. But I was talking with one of the gals who's connected to it. She said there's so many great businesses that are opening right now with locals. And she was saying, gosh, if there was somewhere to highlight these businesses. And as you're just talking about the economic development newsletter, I'm thinking, gosh, that'd be a great place to do that. And you probably know about these businesses more than any of the rest of us do.
That one I do know about. They are going to be on the next newsletter. But Judy also helps out a lot with that, with the Facebook posts, so we can kind of keep awareness as to what new businesses are coming. Also, I check the business registrations, but not all businesses are registering on there currently. So it is a little difficult to keep track of all of them.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Judy.
Okay. I just wanted to say, I'd be more than happy to, and I know we want to work with Adam and Jacqueline. So anything you want me to get out in our newsletter, and then also on the Page AZ Daily Wire, that's all locals pretty much. So I think that's a really good spot to put that out as well. And yeah, you're right. There's a lot. And Kay, it's the soda stop. That's what it's called.
Stop. Okay.
The soda stop shop. Yeah. And yes, they are amazing. They are. They're really, really good. So and then the Canyon Creamery is another one coming in. They haven't signed up with the chamber yet, but they are going to. So we'll have a new ice cream place, which is deadly right. For me, right across the street. But that should be opening up where Lake and Stone was. So, and then the India place, Little India, they are open for food to go, but they're not serving yet. in the restaurant.
New coffee shop too.
New coffee shops. We have a new one. Yeah, yeah, we do. We have a new one and a, yeah. And there's a crystal shop over by the taxi place. And there's just new places going in left and right, and the new books and the new bookstore location. And that's right. I mean, I'm glad that Adam, that's, we're working on trying to let people know things are growing in Page, and I'm excited. And I want to focus on the positive of all the great stuff going on because it is growing. We just got to keep the positive going.
Yeah, and just to chime in, because I know we don't always track it here, but I have noticed the Elm Street Market has been very active.
Yeah.
And I do think that that's good for, you know, pedestrians walking around, good for small businesses to become bigger businesses, and there's good entry there. So, in fact, I'm not sure, but I feel like it's going later than it did originally, because I drove by there the other day and I saw that it was open and pretty active. So I think that's one for us to track and support as well. So.
And there's also the new Smashburger, Lake Powell. Yeah, Smashburger lady. She's over there on Elm Street now. So in six. So, you know, it's everything's booming.
Food truck, right?
Yeah, it's a food truck. And then Erin will be open, I hope. She's hoping by the end of May. I'm hoping for her sake. If not, it'll be June. But she's working really hard to get LP Espresso back open.
All right. Any more questions or discussion with Jackie? If not, we can go ahead and move on. I can't quite see, is Sylvia in the room?
Sylvia was not able to make it. She sends her apologies, and I will be covering her portion today.
All right, well then Adam, we'll go ahead and move to you, and thank you.
One thing I just wanted to mention, we've been doing a lot of marketing in Mexico currently, and part of our marketing efforts is that we received a time slot for a 15-minute presentation at a conference and training for travel agents in Mexico. And they actually wanted a representative to Page to go out there and present, but unfortunately my Spanish is horrible. And our budget at this time of the year is getting a little thin. So Jacqueline was able to create an incredible presentation in Spanish for us, and they were able to present that. So we're definitely getting the word out about our destination in new places. So that's good. I'm going to start with the tourism side of things, since that's what we've been discussing, before moving on to development services. So we do have some Placer data from Friday and Saturday. We don't have Sunday and Monday yet, just because of the way that data is aggregated. And of course, this is just domestic visitors, but we're looking at least on the domestic side, an increase of about 9% for Friday and Saturday. Walmart foot traffic is up about 6.7%, which is good too. But anecdotally, there was some observation of some softness compared to previous years. So I think that's due to some of the slowdown in international, if that's the case. But we will get some more numbers for the whole weekend, and we'll be posting those to the Economic Development website, which should be online shortly. So that and quite a bit of other data that I've been collecting that's going to be on there. So. And just to summarize some of that, we did get April RevPAR numbers from CoStar. And so while we have seen some declines in hotel revenue, overall it's pretty stable, starting to stabilize a bit. So March we were down 4.3%. Now we're down 7.3%. So some continued declines, but not as bad as some other areas. Like Williams, I had to check it about three times. I couldn't believe it, but they're down 14% for April, which, you know, it's, I think a lot of that ties into just the declines in Grand Canyon visitation. And so while we're not seeing that extreme of month over month changes, we are seeing some declines. And while the other, on the other side of it, Utah is seeing increases, or not as bad of decline. So Kanab is only down about 2%, while St. George is has stayed neutral, and Moab is actually up 1%, and Sedona as well. Sedona and Scottsdale are up about 6%, which is interesting. So down below, we're seeing some better numbers, and hopefully that will translate up here eventually. Mm-hmm. So, okay, so on to another subject. Last week, staff at along with representatives from other cities around Arizona and the country attended ICSC in Las Vegas. During the event, staff met with retail representatives, developers, brokers, and commercial real estate professionals to discuss opportunities within Page and continue building relationships that may support future economic growth. The conference provided cities with the opportunity to proactively market their community, better understand national development trends, and position themselves competitively for future retail, hospitality, and mixed-use investment. Staff is currently conducting follow-up conversations with several of the contacts and retailers connected with during the conference. So that's what we're going to be working on. Sylvia has already done quite a bit of outreach since the conference, and we've gotten some good feedback, and we're excited about some of the businesses that we're working with, although we can't name them at this time. Staff is, like I had mentioned, we're still working on the economic development website, and we should launch that within the next week or so. That's going to contain a lot of valuable resources. Some of those resources we brought to ICSC as a preview. So one of the functions of the site is to list all the commercial properties available in the city. So instead, we were able to bring a binder there and went over with several developers who are interested in some of those properties that they could potentially take up. So previously, before that, 2 weeks ago, City of Page staff attended the Arizona Housing Coalition Conference to learn about current housing trends, funding opportunities, and strategies communities are using to address housing challenges. The conference also provided an opportunity to network with housing professionals, developers, and public sector representatives from across Arizona. So that was a really useful one. A lot of that conference was geared around the topics of homelessness and housing affordability, a lot of the issues that, while we face some of that here down in Phoenix, it's really gotten bad, and they're looking at different strategies to start to address some of that. And some of that involved shipping container homes, which was interesting, micro housing, which is even smaller than tiny homes, as kind of a temporary transitional housing to get people into better housing. So we also looked at some of the funding mechanisms and things that are going forward with affordable housing. And we have some good news on that too, which I'll get to later when I cover Sylvia's portion. 3 weeks ago, which we haven't had a meeting in a while, so we've got a lot to cover, staff attended the Federal Partners Forum, which was focused on supporting rural communities. So we were able to talk to MPS, U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Department of Agriculture. We were able to talk with Eli Crane himself, who was there at the conference. The city presented a letter thanking him for the work that he has done to support our community with some of the funding for the water reclamation plant and Page, and then some of the future funding efforts that he's working on for the second straw. He was very happy to receive the letter from our city manager and talk with us. We also met with other groups and partners that could be a benefit for rural communities, so that was really good. Been doing some follow-up from that one. So now here is the updates from Development Services. So the minor general plan amendment rezone request for the Tan Arena Luxury Hotel project, which this board has previously looked at, is currently scheduled for review by the Planning and Zoning Commission on June 2nd. Anyone with questions regarding this project are encouraged to contact Planning and Zoning Director Sylvia Schaefer or attend the upcoming PZC meeting. Staff also clarified that the upcoming discussion will not involve the Rim Trail area. So this is, again, for a minor general plan amendment and rezone request for that new hotel property that we're looking at bringing into town. So in additional development-related news, the city advanced to the next level of consideration for congressional district spending funds related to the Genterra CCC housing project. So basically, we've made it to the next round. They funnel out a lot of the early applicants, and we made it past there. So we're looking to get a final determination later this year on whether we've been selected. So that's very exciting. Our Development Services Department also recently received a grant from Local First Arizona to review city-adopted documents for compatibility and provide recommendations for potential updates and modernization efforts. So over the years, a lot of the documents have just kind of accumulated without really a master review. So city staff is just extremely busy with projects coming in at the moment, but we really wanted to be able to review a lot of these older documents and kind of tell the story of how we got here with the current code. So what this consultant will do is go ahead and look at all of these and evaluate what changes might need to be made, and then at that time staff can go ahead and work on what needs to actually change based on the review. So And lastly, the city's preliminary budget is scheduled to be presented to council on May 27th. Staff encourages anyone who has not already done so to review the May 14th budget workshop meeting, noting that, the presentation is pretty long. It's an eight-hour video, so it's a little difficult to watch in one sitting, but there is a lot of information on there. And so if you really want to see the budget process in action and going over a myriad of various topics related to the budget, then that would be a great video to watch. There's a lot of significant information in there, and so once the budget is finalized, then we can kind of have more updates about what that looks like and how that affects our economic development efforts here in the city. So also part of what was worked out that's relevant to the board is the digital sign that we were discussing in the previous session. So it's come to our attention that City Hall actually needs quite a bit of renovations in general. And so that's kind of become part of a larger discussion on how best to tackle that. And so for now, the sign project for this budget year is just going to be put on hold. So I guess it is more important to have a functioning City Hall than a sign on it. So we have to prioritize things as needed. And that was kind of a victim of those cuts. So. I think the final thing that I want to mention is that you might or might not have noticed that across from the Marriott property on Lake Powell, there's quite a bit of construction going on there, a lot of dirt being pushed around and heavy equipment, and there's even a sign now that is going to be for a new Love's fueling station, but not just a fueling station. A fueling station that does not have fueling for big trucks. It's just going to be for passenger cars and passenger trucks and RVs as well. And it's also going to include a component of a small RV park too with it. So that's a pretty unique aspect. And it's beautiful land, and it's really a pretty spot for an RV park. So I think they'll do really well. If you look on the city website, we have a picture of a similar property that they've been developing that's the closest to what ours is going to look like, in case anyone is curious what will eventually unfold on that site. So, that's pretty much all I've got between those two departments. Any questions?
On the Love's facility going in, is the ingress egress going to be on Lake Powell Boulevard, or is it going to be on 89?
No, it's going to be a continuation of Clubhouse Drive, and then it will actually be on, it'll have a Clubhouse Drive address. So it'll be an extension of the road that goes up to the golf course, but on the other side, and that's where it will be. So.
So from the roundabout, you're coming into town.
Uh-huh.
You're going to have to turn left across traffic into the place. And if you're leaving that facility, you have to turn left across traffic exiting if you're moving coming into town.
Yep, but the road will be aligned with the with Clubhouse Drive on the other side, so it won't be a jog. It'll be directly aligned.
Okay, good.
Any other questions?
Yeah, I don't know that these are questions, but I won't be able to be at the meeting tomorrow night, but I'm curious to hear about the facade fund.
Sure.
And then also the update on the downtown beautification. Maybe I just need to come to the meeting, but I was hoping you would talk about those tonight or give us an opportunity to hear about them at a later meeting.
Sure. I can give a quick update on those, and then we can maybe request to do more information at the next meeting, if that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So
yeah, I don't want to keep Arden too long.
Okay. So so downtown beautification, the developer is looking to do a CMAR for construction on that, and so they're looking at what it's going to take to bring that project to bid for that process. And as far as final designs go, they're really starting to narrow it down, but that final design itself has yet to be presented to us. The most recent design that we saw, I think there were some concerns our city manager had about. It involved keeping the restrooms that are behind the breezeway in the Safeway Shopping Center, because we're actually planning on doing some renovations and getting those open as soon as possible. And some of their plans involved moving or relocating those, and so I don't think that's something that we wanted to really move forward with. And then the idea of doing a stage out there, there's been some conflicting information and also some resistance from the shopping center owners, and so we want to make sure that they get a say in that before the final designs are out. So once those final designs are complete, there's going to be another public outreach portion, and from that will be the actual construction plans, and then that'll go out to bid, and we're hoping to start construction in 2027 for that. So it's going to go pretty quick. So also the facade improvement program. So originally in the first budget revision, we were looking at a $200,000 line item allocated to that project. Our city manager had stated that those funds could potentially be retroactive for businesses that have already signed up and during previous rounds of this project. And so while we did cut those funds down from $200,000 to $100,000 for this budget period, that doesn't mean that we can't do another $100,000 for the next fiscal year, 28. So the good news is we are moving forward with that, and we do have funds, and so we are excited to roll that out for the next fiscal year.
do you already have a process in place on how the applications and then the evaluation of the applications will take place?
So that's more of a Sylvia question. So she actually ran our facade improvement program in Kingman for a number of years and had a lot of success with that. So I think that what that looks like for Paige will be pretty similar, with the exception of a few just little revisions that will make it go a little smoother and be as fair as possible to those applicants. But I think for the next meeting, if you'd like, Sylvia could potentially add that into the staff portion of the meeting and give some more information on what that's going to look like.
Councilor Hammond, I see you have your hand up. Go ahead.
Yeah, real quick, I just wanted to mention on the downtown beautification project, I would really like to see this board review that information before council. This, in this particular phase, it's kind of happening backwards where council's reviewing it and then economic development can either come to the meeting or review it after. This board is more closely connected to businesses than the folks on council, and you're more focused on that particular part of government function. So Adam, I'm just bringing this up to say that in the final phase, I would really love to see this board act as a sounding board and review what's being generated before it comes to council. I think that's more appropriate and it'll create a smoother process for all of us, if that makes sense.
I'll make it happen.
Amanda, wonderful, thank you so much.
Amanda, I appreciate your comment because when I looked at the agenda for the council meeting, I was a little surprised that the two items that I just brought up, the downtown beautification and the facade, weren't coming to the EDAB board before the council, especially because they're things that we have spent time on previously. Not that I don't trust the council and the conversations they can have, but felt like it was maybe part of our jobs as council, as board members, to one, be informed, but two, have the opportunity to comment and determine what happens next.
Yeah, I agree, Kay. And again, you all, this board is the body that's more focused on, in 1 hour, you all can commit more time to reviewing and discussing those types of things than council can in an hour, because what we're reviewing crosses a bigger, broader spectrum. So it just, logically, it does make sense to have this board review those things ahead of time. I was a little surprised on the agenda myself, but it is what it is. We just do better next time, right?
Thank you.
Right. And you know, I'll take some responsibility for not requesting that on the agenda. I've had some little distractions lately, so some of that is my fault. But Amanda said, we can certainly do better. The question that I have to follow that is, I'm sure there's a pretty solid timeline on that. Just to make sure we track that, I don't know, Adam, off the top of your head, do you know when that next review is going to be so we can make sure we get that on the agenda and give ourselves enough time and just be prepared for that? Do you know when that's going to be?
I think we can actually, I think normally we do 1 week before, but let's make it 2 weeks just so we can make sure that we have adequate time to go over everything, and everything that's on there needs to be on there.
But specifically with the downtown beautification, where there's going to be another review, do we know when that's going to be?
So the timeline for that is kind of dependent on when we're going to receive those final designs, and then the public outreach will be determined, I think, after that. So we'll make sure that the board has an opportunity, and we'll coordinate that public outreach with the meeting so that they can present to the board first and then to the community outreach portion.
Okay. Thank you. Councilor Hammond.
Thank you. Real quick, also on the facade improvement program, if I'm not mistaken, that is on for a future agenda item topic tomorrow, which means we're not really going to talk about it. We're just going to agree or disagree whether to talk about it in the future. So I will certainly make that point, Kay, that it probably would be more appropriate to be discussed in this board before it comes to council.
Thank you.
Also, just when a project like that is budgeted initially, that doesn't necessarily give it approval. That would definitely have to go through council and then, well, first the EDAP board. So the budget portion isn't necessarily the approval. It's just allocating the funds.
Yeah, but maybe with our recommendation, you would have got $200,000.
Any other questions?
Sorry, one more on that topic, Kay, just because you mentioned it. That program was $200,000, and we all agreed in the budget workshop session, because that program has, the money has been there for years, but we haven't gotten traction on implementing it, and this is a tough budget year. As Adam mentioned, we have had to make cuts. We decided to lower the amount this year, try to get some good solid traction, proof of concept, and then in future years, we can always go up again.
Perfect.
All right, are there any other questions or comments for Adam?
Great work.
All right, hearing none, I think that means it is time to adjourn at 6:44.